Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Last week, Pastor Steve began our Advent series called Sounds of the Season. We are looking at, throughout the course of this series, we're going to be looking at 29 different songs. Not on Sunday mornings, like that would be a long sermon, right? We're looking at 29 different songs throughout the context of this, delivered directly to your inbox. If you have your email given to us, we are sending out emails at, they're scheduled for 7 a.m. To get there before work, before hopefully the day gets crazy, for you just to read through. You can even click some links, listen to the songs that we're sharing devotional thoughts on. These devotions have been written by your staff and by other leaders of the church. If you're not getting those emails and you would like to, make sure that you tell Mary Ann that, or myself, or in the friendship booklet that you pass through, if you get your hands on that and write your email address in there, we will be sure to add you to our list. But this is just a great season of music, and so we wanted to kind of lean into that throughout the context of this this season. So some of the songs are, you know, some of our favorites. Some of them are not. Some of them are, you know, confusing at times. They use an older language at times. Some of them will have a personal connection to us. It's very, very dear. Some of them are just fun. And so if you want to receive those devotions every morning, we encourage you to, again, let us know. I encourage you, as always, to look in your bulletin today. There is an insert there. You can follow along with what we'll be sharing today. Listen for the gentle voice of God. I believe God wants to share something with every heart here. I believe that with all of my life. And so listen to the voice. Write down what the Spirit is whispering to your heart. I have prayed today throughout the context of this morning as we've worshiped that there would be just one phrase that would capture your heart and that your heart would be open as that one phrase comes in that is shared. And I don't know what it will be, but that one phrase would come in and just warm your heart and minister to your soul. So I've prayed that you would be ready to hear and to receive the Word of God today. Today's Sound of the Season was just sung. Maybe a newer version of that song than you've heard, or a newer rhythm, but the first Noel. This song has roots that go way before printed songbooks were ever written. As a matter of fact, the first time we can find it written in a songbook is in 1823, and it was just the lyric at that time. It was well known during that time period because it was written in a songbook called Christmas Songs, Ancient Christmas Songs. And 10 years later, it was in another songbook that included the melody at this time, and it was another songbook called Ancient and Modern Christmas Songs. So we've seen that this song has been known for a long time and continues today to be one of our favorites. We were talking about this particular song and the word Noel in our staff meeting recently. And we asked the question, do you know what Noel means? And we thought we knew. Was one of our staff members said, I believe it means peace. And honestly, none of us questioned it. We're like, yeah, I think that's right. That's kind of what I had grown up to believe. Noel was this understanding of peace. But when I began to research it, I discovered something a little bit different, actually quite a bit more simpler. This idea of Noel has some roots in French and English language, and it simply means Christmas time. If you were to look this up in the Webster's Dictionary, it would say a shout of joy or Christmas song. The Latin root of this word, Noel, is actually Natalis, meaning birth. Some early Christians began to write on their calendars on December 25th, Natus Christus, which meant the birth of Christ. And so because that word natus, in the root of the Latin word natalis, which is where we've come from, English and French versions of this word Noel have been all connected together for us to use that word as a word connecting us to Christmas. So this very first Noel, this song eloquently describes for us this very first story, the most important story of all time, the story of Christ arrival. It begins to talk about the arrival of Christ through the proclamation of angels to some dirty shepherds. And then it begins to talk about, because there are many stanzas that we don't normally sing, the majority of the song deals with that bright light, that star leading the Magi from the east and what they found. So I just want to read those passages of Scripture. Luke chapter 2, the visit of the angels. That night, There were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of the army of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." I read that this week and thought about this story and this song and thought about these shepherds coming to the bedside of this Christ child. It appears without question to me that the shepherds were guarding their sheep nearby the town of Bethlehem. It appears to me that they had little to no warning of anything that was taking place because they were terrified. What did they leave behind in that field that day? Sleeping sheep, right? Not wealth, not a home. They had very little to leave. But they were uniquely skilled to find this child. For the word that the angel gave was, "You'll find this sign. This child will be sleeping where the cattle are normally eating, where the sheep are normally feeding." So they knew exactly where to go. These shepherds were the only people that those angels could have found that day that would be uniquely skilled to find every barn, every stable in that city. These unappreciated, overworked slice of society had nothing to lose as they left their flocks and went to find what the angels did say. Think about this, the journey of the shepherds compared to the journey of the Magi. And the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem, the word says. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When I consider the journey of the Magi, it was much, much different than the journey of the shepherds, right? It started maybe, in my mind, many months before, maybe even years before Mary even conceived Jesus. Now, some believe that the story began at the birth of Jesus and that the Magi arrived after he was nearly 2 years old, and that's fair. I really love to lean into the side of the story that believes that their impression of this child began long before so that they would arrive at the time of his birth. You can choose whichever way you like to look at that story. We really don't know for sure. We see that the Holy Family is now in a home. It uses a different word here. They're not necessarily at the stable. But we see that these men traveled a long distance. What's clear is that their journey cost them deeply. They traveled many, many nights. It cost them credibility among their peers to leave everything that they knew to make this trip. It cost them financially their wealth as they offered gifts to this baby. They bet all that they had. They bet all that they knew on this star-driven journey. So while the journey of the shepherds and the journey of the Magi were quite different, both groups became among the very first to perceive the arrival of God's Son. Wouldn't you like to have been in that crowd? Very small crowd. In fact, based on their response, I think that we can tell you that their visit to meet the Christ child changed the trajectory of their lives. They were different. Look at what they said. As a matter of fact, I think when you look at what happens in the words that follow in their stories, you can say that these men became the very first ambassadors of Christmas. Consider this. The shepherds quickly told everyone what they had seen. Verse 16, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. How about the Magi? Verse 12 of Matthew 2. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. If you remember the story, they found themselves in Jerusalem, went to Herod, and he said, go and find this child and report back to me. Now, I can tell you with certainty that if they had gone back to Herod, their journey would have ended right there. Herod was ruthless. Herod had no problem killing friends or foes or even family. But they were now men and their families, more likely, traveling, not following a star, but these became men who are now listening to the Lord. There's a change in their trajectory. There's a change in their stories. Because as these people met Jesus, even in the form of a baby, they became a part of a kingdom. And they became representatives of that kingdom. I believe that both groups, though their journeys vastly different, understood the gravity of this moment and began to communicate in the way uniquely designed for them how to talk about this child. They became the first ambassadors of the Christmas story. Now, I'm sharing this phrase, ambassadors of the Christmas story, is a phrase I heard this week. Dr. John Bowling, who's the president of Olivet Nazarene University, shared in a chapel message this week, which I watched, about the ambassadorship of Christmas. He began to talk about a time where he had to travel to Europe. And in his travels to Europe, he had a dear friend who was serving as an ambassador to Germany. And so he made his way to the office of Dan Coats. Dan Coats, you may recognize, was a three-term senator in Indiana. And then he became the ambassador to Germany a long time ago. During the reunification process of Germany, there was a lot at stake. So John Bowling had made arrangements because they were friends to have dinner together. And as he arrives at his residence, there's a guarded gate, and a security guard takes his credentials and looks things over and approves Dr. Bowling for coming in. And as he hands back his credentials, the security guard says these words, "Welcome home." Now, at first, Dr. Bowling said this kind of struck him as odd because he was still in the country of Germany. But then what he quickly was reminded of was that where the ambassador's residence and compound is actually considered United States soil. He was back on U.S. soil. Reminded him of that. During the context of their conversation that night and talking about what it was like to be an ambassador at a time such as that he was, Dan Coats said something that was pretty profound to Dr. Bowling. He said, whenever I'm in a meeting, whenever I'm at any kind of a dignitary event at all, I am the United States. Now, that might come across as being a little bit arrogant, and you probably find that most people from Indiana are. Dan Coats was born in Jackson, Michigan, though, so he was a humble man. Dan Coats was not talking about his role of being the United States in an arrogant way. He was trying to explain to Dr. Bowling the weight of an entire nation rests on him as he walks in to meet with other public figures. He felt the gravity of his words, and he would use them carefully. Because as he would use them to the Germans or to the other dignitaries that he would meet, he knew that those words carried weight. He was the ambassador of the United States, the entire United States. Paul uses this same kind of analogy and discussion as he is speaking to us in his second letter to the church of Corinth. This is what he says in verse 20 of chapter 5. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. This is a powerful statement. First century ambassadors, the ones that Paul understood, were ones that were not probably making residence in foreign countries. Ambassadors of Paul's time would travel great distances to proclaim a word, to offer a truce, or to offer words of persuasion. They often would give greetings for special days of other countries, for other dignitaries. Regardless, those ambassadors, just like our ambassadors today, represent the efforts and the wishes of the countries from which they come from. There's great power in understanding that there is a message that the ambassador holds. And Paul says, we are ambassadors of Christ. We carry that valuable word, the most important word that this world has ever known about the kingdom of Jesus. This idea of ambassadorship really begins earlier in chapter 5, 2 Corinthians. Let me read it for you, beginning in verse 14. Either way, Christ's love compels us, Paul writes. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old self. He has died for everyone so that those who receive His new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. I don't want to rush over those words. Consider this. He says, from a period of time, we evaluated Christ from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us this message of reconciliation. And then verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. Now if you could hear those words today, this message of transformation that impacts our life, that should change our life, is the message that we now give to the world. The first Noel, the first Christmas birth, the angels bring a message to a group of dirty, undistinguished farmhands. And they left that stable representing the kingdom of God to all that they came in contact with. They were the poorest of the poor, but were their first ambassadors of Christmas. The star gave great light. It guided the journey of the wealthiest scientist from a far distant land. They arrived. They blessed the Holy Family. They blessed them from their wealth, and then they returned to their home with a message of hope. The wealthiest of the wealthy became the ambassadors of Christmas. This morning, you too have been given a great message. Maybe today you realize that you have not fully embraced the story of redemption and grace to the level of the shepherds or the level of the wise men. Maybe today the angels are singing in your heart about the truth of Jesus' Noel, that very first and holy birth. Maybe today there is within your soul a great light that is shedding wisdom and truth, deep truth, in you about the realities of this child and his mission to save the world. The first Noel rings in our hearts today as we receive the best gift of Christmas, redemption for our souls. You know, Paul writes, in talking about being ambassadors, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. The NIV translated this, be reconciled to God. This is the message that we are now ambassadors of, for those of us who have received it. You cannot be a messenger of something you have not experienced. This is a message for those who have embraced faith in Jesus Christ. So what do we do? Once we've experienced the gift of mercy, what do we do with our understanding of salvation and life transformation? We become ambassadors of Christmas. This is the phrase, if you're filling in notes in your outline and you want to follow along. Those of us who have welcomed the Christ in our lives are now charged to proclaim His arrival to the world. I'll say that again. Those of us who have welcomed the Christ in our lives are now charged to proclaim His arrival to the world. You know, in reading the Bible, it's really easy for us to read chapters or verses at a time. And it's very common. But Paul didn't write in chapters and verses. And I'm not sure why they did this, but I think they cut off chapter 5 just a touch too early. Chapter 6 starts off really strong, verses 1 and 2. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. And now is the day of salvation. I read this in my beat-up study Bible in my office this week. And for some reason, I had not underlined or circled this text. I did this week. I underlined, I wrote out to the side these words. This is the greatest halftime locker room conversation that is in the Bible. Like, this should get you going. This should make you want to go back out there and kick some tail. This is what Paul says is like, get us moving. Because I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. You know, we watch the news and we get depressed. There are plenty of things in this world to be worried about. There's a lot to bring us into despair. But I'm telling you today, as your friend, today is a day of salvation. Today is the day that we lean into the first Noel, the birth of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, the one who redeems us, the one who forgives our sins, the one who removes our stain and guilt. And if the lions get you more excited than that, I'm sorry for you. Really sorry. This is good news. But what Paul says in verse 1 is, don't receive the good news in vain. Don't just embrace this and then stay silent. You, not just me, not just Steve, not just Troy, not just Kelly, not just Mike, not just Johnny, not just Julie. I'm going to miss some. Not just Mason, not just our licensed minister. No, that's not just our job. We're limited. It's your job to be ambassadors of Christmas. Ambassadors of the first Noel. How will you be the authority of Christ's kingdom to the world uniquely placed around you? Ambassadors have a unique set of territory they are to represent. For Dan Coates, it was Germany. But you also have a very unique place in this kingdom. You have a very unique friend group. You have a very unique neighborhood. You have a very unique office or work environment. You have a very unique family. That is your office. You are the ambassadors of this. So my question to you is, how will you be the authority of Christ's kingdom to the world around you, to your children, to your grandchildren, to your co-workers, to the hurting, the grieving, and the broken, as well as the proud and the arrogant? So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making His appeal through us. So we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. I spent some time this week with my mother. Some of you are aware that her cancer has returned, and so we're faced with another set of battles in our home. And so I traveled to be with her this week, and I shared this idea with her. God gave me a different word for her, but it had the same message. I said, Mom, you have now a very unique platform. You, people will listen to. Now's the time, Mom. to talk to your brothers about Jesus. They won't tell you to be quiet. You've got cancer. If they tell you to be quiet, I'll just come have to whoop them up. She loves her brothers. She loves her sister. So, Mom, now's the time to gather us as a family. And to tell my brothers, my sister, implore them, come back to God. You don't need cancer to have that message. I'm just using that as an example that too often we want to just respect everybody's individuality and not ruffle any feathers. I'm all for respect. But can we be pro-kingdom and say we are ambassadors of the greatest message this world has ever known? So some of you are going to gather with your family. I will be praying that you have the strength to say, before we eat, I want to proclaim a message. Before we open presents, can I tell you about the greatest gift ever given? You might save a marriage. You might give someone hope that was thinking about ending their life. You carry a message that will change the trajectory of someone's life. Do not capture this story in vain. Proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not for the people who get paid to stand in front of you. Please, do not call us professionals ever again. We just broken men and women who feel a call of God. We want you to feel that same call. I continue to banter on. You know my heart. Can I pray for us? Lord, I've prayed all morning that there would be a simple phrase that would echo in the heart of our souls today. I ask God that you continue to be faithful to that prayer, and I believe that you have nudged every soul here today. Some of us are seated here and we have been around this story for a long, long time, but we really have not responded to it. Some of us seated here today are feeling a warmth, a gentleness inside of our souls that says, you know, you keep dancing around this idea of Jesus, but you have not done anything with it. Lord God, will you in that heart and in that soul right now love on them? And friend, if that's you, can I ask you to love him back? And allow him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sin. He is not here to beat you down. He's here to build you up. Receive the gift of Christmas today. Not the gift of religion. Please, no. The gift of Christ. Receive it. Say yes to him. Jesus, continue to do your work in those lives. Some of us here today have recognize that we've walked with Christ for a long time. We've walked with Jesus forever, but we are so scared to tell anybody about it. Oh God, give us the power to be the ambassadors of your kingdom to our children, to our coworkers, to our neighbors. Give us a vision and a wise path on how to proclaim your love, maybe through the simple nature of a Christmas card or a plate of cookies. I don't know how that message can get conveyed, but God, empower us to be your ambassadors this Christmas. Through your love and mercy, may we put ourselves in the place of those shepherds who come and find that baby laying in a manger. A group of men that weren't used to being around other people. They weren't a group of people or a group of men that were even welcomed into other circles. But the minute they met Jesus, they didn't care anymore. And they went out and they told everybody what they had seen. And you used it, God, because their story astonished the masses. Don't let us be convinced that we can't be used by you. That is a lie. You want to use our story to proclaim your goodness. So Lord God, in this day, as we draw this time together to a close, help us to lean in to the story of Christ, his arrival, and his redemption in our lives. May you help us proclaim it from the rooftops. And may we see your kingdom come and your will be done right here as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.